Okay, scooter tramps and chopper jockeys all across the land. It's just after 9 p.m. on Sunday evening, and it's time for Shop Talk, America's first and favorite motorcycle news and entertainment show. Coming to you live 50 floors beneath the street level in the Cycle Source magazine studios, provided by Dennis Kirk. Dennis Kirk, if you are last minute like me, they can be your best asset, your best resource, your best friend, your buddy, because they can get you that shit. If you order like up till 8 o'clock at night, they're going to get it out to you. That's my spot. And here's my crew.
Hey, we should change your name to Larry.
I know.
Last minute Larry.
In your spot.
My crew is in my spot this week. We're all in the same spot.
I know.
It's pretty awesome.
It's been a long, it feels like it's been a very long time, actually.
Dude, it's been a crazy end of the year.
I think for me anyway.
It's been a crazy, crazy end of the year. Like just.
I've been here the whole time.
I know.
I don't even know how you guys been.
I don't understand, Mark.
You're right as the rain.
You're right as the rain, buddy.
All I know is that when I got home to Pittsburgh yesterday, it was cold and rainy.
Well, that kind of comes along with saying I got home to Pittsburgh.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So a couple more shout outs that we got to give because people were piling in at the end there. Ditch Please is with us. Bill Reed finally remembered. eBay Jake with that damn handsome. What do they call those things?
Emoji.
There you go. See, you told me the other day you didn't know what that was, and I just tricked you into admitting it.
I learned something new.
The Salty Badger says he's in from Michigan, by the way. So
Aunt Poppy's in the house.
Missy's here.
Wow.
Hey, Missy.
Real quick, I have to thank Missy. She's the one that turned me on to Dana, our guest tonight. She told me all about the super rad lady we're going to interview tonight. So thank you, Missy.
eBay Jake giving you a shout out, Mark. He says, awesome to be in flannel season. And there it is in all its glory.
I've been like hauling this around in my truck, waiting to put it on.
Eric Christensen
from Redline.
Yeah,
Redline's in the house. Nice to have you.
Yes, sir. So, lots of stuff going on. You know, the motorcycle season is not over by a long damn shot.
Does motorcycle season actually ever end?
Duck season.
No, not really.
Rabbit season.
I guess if you just keep like moving from, you know, spot to spot, you could theoretically just ride all year.
Oh, Johnny Ringo, been waiting all week. I'm in the Berg as well. The weather sucks.
But is he anybody's huckleberry?
Yeah. Go on, Johnny. You're a dandy if you do. So, yeah, lots of stuff to get to still. Heather has the Lone Star Rally coming up.
I'm very excited.
Yep. Tons of stuff, good stuff there. The bike games, the most serious motorcycle rodeo on the planet. They got a bunch of new stuff happening in Galveston this year.
I think we need a new event. I need to switch something up. Like, it's Texas. We should do some sort of like roping event. I don't know. I got to think of something new, though.
Nick Hildebrand, I'm working off the company books due tomorrow. Ah. Oh. Pete Stout in with us. Oh. Drew Scotchless. How about that?
You just want to say that every time now because we taught you how to say it. Bagger Bader just watched your acceptance speech in Sturgis. Aw.
You know, that was hard for me to even put up. Like, I can't.
Were you going to do everybody's but yours?
No, but I really wish that I had a do-over on that. It's terrible. There are so many people that I should have thought in that, I should have thought of and mentioned in that speech. And like, I was so nervous, man, that it was all I could do to get everything out. So when I'm sitting there at the editing deck, putting all of that together, it was like I was seeing it for the first time because literally my mind just blanked out. Like I got up on that stage and looked at a room full of people who had been my heroes forever.
And you literally just went,
and I lost my shit.
You can almost see the moment where you just went, oh my God.
Yeah, so craziness.
Cheesy abides? I don't understand.
Cheesy abides. If it's like spelled the same way as Lake Bosco.
Wow, Lake Bosco.
The M is silent. No, like the dude abides. Come on, man.
The Amazon.
See?
Why are you hog-tying me, Pop? No, that is not going to be a game in... No.
Hog-tying Heather. Hog-tying? That is a game that we play, but usually in private.
Let's
get on with the show. If this is your first time watching Shop Talk, welcome. Where the hell you been? We say that every week.
We've done this 254 times.
I know.
Or this is number 254.
Can you believe it? And they say the definition of insanity, Mark?
Yes.
So what do we do here? 90 to 120 minutes of all the two-wheel bullshit we can fit. We do some entertainment. We look at some feature bikes. We talk about cool products. We have a great guest on. Every once in a while, we do a little thing we like to call the news.
The Shop Talk World Report is brought to you by Law Tigers. Get the compensation you deserve and get back on the road with Law Tigers.
See, it's all about the comma, Poppy.
It's all about the comma.
first up in the... Yeah, okay, so let everybody in on a joke. It was meant to be hog tie, Heather.
It was... Hog tying, not Heather. I got it.
Okay, first up in the news comes in from Dealer News. Elvis lives.
Oh, my God.
Triumph whereabouts unknown.
He's in a house in Paris with Jim
Triumph Morrison. Island at the Barber Vintage Bike Festival this weekend featured an Elvis sighting of epic proportions. Triumph Motorcycles uncovered the truth behind a famous motorcycle myth that Elvis Presley gave an extraordinary motorcycle gift to every member of his Memphis Mafia in 1965. However... It wasn't the butler, but rather a dealer. Who done it? With the discovery of the original checks in the Graceland archives signed by the king himself, as well as the recollections from Jerry Schilling, a close friend of Elvis, it can be confirmed that Elvis bought 9 Triumph motorcycles as gifts so he and his closest friends could ride together in the hills of Los Angeles. We'll let Triumph tell the story of how a legendary local dealer did the impossible and delivered a half dozen of the hottest bikes in the country to Bel Air Mansion for the Memphis Mafia.
That's so,
so
cool.
You can check that out, Dealer News.
So now they're trying to find it. Like, that's the big thing. Everybody's trying to find the Triumph.
The Triumph or one of the 9.
One of the 9. I think they're trying to find Elvis. Elvis had one, too.
Yeah.
So they're trying to find Elvis.
Teach better hide Elvis in the garage.
Right. Completely different Elvis there.
Wrong Elvis.
Wrong Elvis.
I have to say this. Mark.
No.
What's up with the whole, you got like a whole handlebar mustache thing going on. Are you using product?
I most certainly am not. That would be Chris's job.
Oh, wait now.
I'm telling you, it looks like you got that whole upsweep thing going on.
I blew my nose in the truck before I came in here. Maybe that's what. It's natural. You know, when you got it, you got it.
Back to the news.
When the fish are biting.
Also Triumph and Akrapovic announced long-term... How impressed are you?
I am so...
Akrapovic.
Did you practice?
No. Announced long-term collaboration. Triumph Motorcycles Akrapovic have released plans to collaborate on a number of new exhaust systems in the adventure and roadster sectors, as well as working on special projects. Collaboration began in the paddock when Akrapovic supplied top Moto2 TM teams with exhaust systems running with Triumph 765 engines, including the world champions 21 and 22. Both Akrapovic and Triumph are known across the world for delivering high-performance premium quality, unmistakable sounds, and innovative designs. You can check more of that out on Motorcycle Product News. Full Throttle Saloon owner died.
Okay, so I put this up there because we know it's a load of hogwash. But this is it. Like, this must mean you've actually made it. If they're putting out news pieces that you have died, you have made it. I'm just saying.
Jesus, how did this happen? So he's not. I was like, oh my God, Michael Ballard died?
I put in big red letters, fake news.
Introduction, a tragic passing of Michael Ballard, the charismatic owner at Full Throttle Saloon, left a void in the hearts of motorcycle enthusiasts worldwide, known for his larger-than-life personality. So what they've actually done here is mashed Jesse and Michael together.
Yeah, somewhere along the
line. Are they both still alive? Can we verify that?
Let's make a call.
Right. But yeah, like I had to share this because it actually came across in my Google Alerts. And I'm like, what? And of course, the first thing I do is...
Send a message to everybody we know.
No. I researched the piece. And it's a good PR stunt, apparently. But again, like, you know you've made it if they're putting out news posts that you're dead.
Wow.
The first thing I would have done was taken a nap, but that's besides the point.
Well, the first thing you should have done was called me so I could have called Michael and been like, hey, man, you okay?
What we should have done was got him on and then way.
And been like,
dude, you're dead.
Channeling from the great beyond. Yeah,
it is Halloween month. We could have had like a little seance.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus. So apologies to anyone that took by surprise. Let's move on to the news. From motorcycle.com.
Oh, yeah.
Quang Jang produced Harley Davidson X500 coming to America in 2024. Oh, I have so much to say about this.
You called it. Let her rip.
So let me read the news first. Harley Davidson has released U.S. owner's manual for the X500 indicating the Roadster manufactured by China's Quang Jang Motorcycle will be coming to America for the 24 model year. The X500 was announced for the Chinese market in April and later for Australia and New Zealand, but newly published owner's manual also hints at U.S. launch. Now, here's the deal. I said that this was a violation between Harley-Davidson, the American taxpayer, who originally was on the hook for their bailout back in the Reagan administration, when under the need for company restructuring, they entered a plea for injunctive relief and got it, and every other motorcycle manufacturer on the planet had a huge tariff waiting to be put against them. Now, Harley goes on to say that, you know, they never needed that, so they called it off, whatever. Here's the deal, though. It was bad enough that they were having motorcycles for overseas sales need filled by a foreign manufacturer, but for them to manufacture a motorcycle in another country's plant to import to this country,
oh yeah,
is total bullshit.
Yep.
I'm sorry. And I know my friends at Harley Davidson, please forgive me for being so abrupt about this. Yeah, well, yeah,
honest?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. There is enough need for people to have jobs in this country to actually have the world's largest American motorcycle manufacturer make bikes in another country and have them shipped in. I don't understand this, not one bit. Anyone from Harley-Davidson who wants to come on here and talk about this and explain it to us, you are more than welcome to.
We would love it. So Jason Sims actually just said he saw one of these on the road in California the other day. And then Bagger Bader, riding in the Ozarks, did a video on this bike yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of crap.
Harley Davidson is like America.
Well,
you know, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be synonymous with like,
this wasn't fake news too, right? This is on motorcycle.com. Otherwise,
it is on everywhere. It is on Visor Now. It is everywhere.
Dude, you got to be kidding me.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Update October 12th. Harley-Davidson reached out to us saying the X500 remains designed for the Asian market and will not be sold in America. The official owner's manual still suggests otherwise, but it is possible it was published in error. Stranger things have happened. Yeah,
I've seen it. I saw it on so many platforms. Because, again, when I see a news piece like this,
My problem is still the fact. Like, I don't care if it's Harley-Davidson trying to circumvent import tariffs in other countries by having a motorcycle manufactured over there anyway with the company's brand on it or not. American motorcycles made by American workers. You know what I mean? It's staggering to think that, like, we used to be super critical of how much of the percentage of that motorcycle was actually built in the United States. And that line got faded. But, like, this is a complete violation of trust between the American taxpayer and this company.
Mm.
And that's all I'm going
to
say.
It won't help their popularity, yep. That's for sure.
Let's go back to the news.
No.
This in from Rolling
Stones. This one is Rolling Stones. This isn't motorcycle, but I think like
every motorcycle rider
had a crush on her at some point.
Aw, Suzanne Somers, Three's Company actress, dead at 76.
Like, you tell me when you were young, you didn't have a crush on her.
I still have a crush on her.
Right? She's gorgeous.
You know, that was more the Farrah Fawcett than the Suzanne Somers. But yes, she was very attractive.
They were in the same neighborhood, Mark. Yeah. Come on.
Very much so.
So that's sad news that we pass on.
Published in error. Oops.
What was published? Yeah. Published in error. My ass. My ass.
Ricky Ricardo, who are you?
Let me say this one more time. just if you haven't heard me say it, if you haven't heard me say it before, this ain't tennis shoes. Just saying. This ain't tennis shoes.
Oh, man.
No, they need to bring it back. They need to start. You can progress without losing.
Yeah.
Your soul?
The almighty dollar.
Right.
Oh,
the
man.
The only thing they're worried about.
No, and I understand. Like, I understand. I get business and all of that stuff, but.
Well, that's bad business.
But see, this is the type of business. This is the type.
Ask Bud Light how that went for him.
Right? This is the type of business I keep referring to as ravenous capitalism. There was a time in this country where capitalism, good, healthy capitalism, built institutions. If you looked at the area around Hershey, just for example, because it's close to us, Milton Hershey, his business and his money and his leadership built an entire community. They
schools,
built hospitals, schools,
everything.
Not just the factories that employed the people. He built a bunch of fat asses too. And a whole diet industry after that. But they also built the amusement park. And, those things, if you went from town to town, St. Louis with Anheuser-Busch and Michigan, the auto workers, like, that was really, really important.
Pittsburgh Steel.
Yeah, like,
it's true. I mean, even look at the difference in Milwaukee. Like,
right.
To have Harley-Davidson, like, the church of everybody who's ever loved motorcycles – sit mostly empty.
Yep.
Yeah, people don't work in that building
people
anymore.
People don't work in that
building
anymore.
No one realizes
that. It's sad.
That.
It's changed everything in Milwaukee. It's changed traffic. It's changed restaurants and hotels. And it's so sad to see how it's been impacted.
Well, let's see how it plays out, because that monetarily, that may be a really bad move for them.
Well, let's get off our bully pulpit here. Let's get on to some cool stuff, because motorcycles are still cool than politics
or any
of this bullshit.
Anyone will ever be.
So I want to remind you guys, you're watching Shop Talk, currently in the Dennis Kirk Motorcycle Studio, every Sunday at 9, and we're going to take a quick look at a cool feature bike. On the other side, we're going to our guest, Guinness Book of World Records rider.
Yep.
Don't go anywhere. You're watching Shop Talk.
Out of Focus is brought to you by Garage Build. Submit your build, share your passion. Powered by Dennis Kirk.
Keith Paul John, Howard Lake, Minnesota. 68 generator shovel, chopper. So it's a 74, but it's got 80-inch flywheels. So it's original cases, original numbers, matching bellies, factory frame, hard-tailed. Deraked, pour over wide glide, magneto, went back to a magneto, super B, so the hard combo, and been fighting with it a little bit, but we rode it here, so we're good. I found the bar and the bars, and then I had this thing sitting in my shelf for years, that Cobra Sissy Bar insert. That's what I built the bike around. So this is what, coming home from Sturgis last year, this sitting in my shelf, I had this bike built in my head the time I got home. And I almost didn't get it done, but I was in the campground the last 2 days wrenching, but got to ride it here. So it seems like when that's happening, everything else is just piled on top, right? Every little thing just seems like it's meant to be wrong, right? Just been wrenching on it, trying to get ready for this. I got a good buddy, Evan. He's got that Evo chop over there, and we wrench on, we pretty much work through each other's problems, you know, and we like building them, so. We know the consequences, but it's pretty rewarding when you get them done. So I have a three-stall attached that my wife and I used to park in, and now there's no cars in there. I've got four lifts in there, and there's a project on each one, and then stuff weight, and I kind of got pretty deep the last couple of years, so it's fun. I love it, man. There's nothing like building bikes and riding them. Keith Paulchon, Howard Lake, Minnesota, and I'm a Dennis Kirk garage builder.
only thing standing between you and the open road is some garage time with the right parts and accessories to make your motorcycle roar. And that's why riders everywhere choose DennisKirk.com, the one stop you need to get your Harley back on the road. Our knowledgeable tech staff will help you navigate our more than 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories that are ready to ship today, with free shipping on all orders over $89. So tune up your ride and get ready for the next adventure. Ride more, wait less. Dennis Kirk.
Hey, Philly from Twisted Team. We're live in Sturgis, and you're watching Shop Talk.
The riding takes you from A to B, or just lets you escape. There's a flow to the road you share, so go with it. Eyes open, and always have the Law Tigers by your side. If you've been injured in a motorcycle accident, visit us at lawtigers.com. Law Tigers, America's motorcycle lawyers.
Okay, welcome back to the Dennis Kirk Motorcycle Studio. You're watching Shop Talk, and boy, has Heather dug up a neat treat for you guys tonight.
Yes.
And I got to give you all the credit in the world for this one. I don't even know how you got this. This lady is our guest, but
we already had this conversation.
Longest journey by motorcycle in a single country from an individual, our guest tonight, Dana D'Arcy. She went, what is it here?
82,598 miles.
So let's just round it up. I mean, come on. 83,000. 83,000 miles in 4 months and nailed this. And what's even best about that? She only got her endorsement for motorcycle in 2016.
Yep.
Bought her first bike in 2018, her first motorcycle, and took off, hit the road, and now beat all of you lame asses in riding this motorcycle. So probably a thousand things. Like I said, I want to put it out there that Dana is on the chat tonight. Oh, her endorsement was 2014. I apologize. She's on the chat tonight, so you can ask her any questions as we're going through this interview. We'll try to get to them, or we'll refer you straight to her. But what an incredible achievement. Let's immediately, before we lose this one, because this is going to be an interview for the books, let's bring Dana on and talk about it.
Just Hanging Out in the Shop is brought to you by Spectro Oils. Made in USA since 1966, the best oil on planet Earth.
Dana.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking me.
I mean, with the schedule you must have for riding, I don't know how it was possible for you to find the time.
You know what the coolest thing is? Is she has a legit career.
Yeah.
She's not just, you know, a dirty chopper jockey like you.
Oh, easy now. Dana, tell everybody what it is that you do in your real life.
I'm a nurse anesthetist.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, she's got a serious job. Yeah.
So
how did you find the time to take off to go do this journey?
Yeah, forced.
I actually took a leave of absence from work. So I didn't tell, but only four people from work what I was doing. So,
Dill Stereo says that Bunza still finally has a picture to go with the definition. But listen, I want you to start out for everybody. let's go back to what your background is, like, you know, growing up and how you were introduced to motorcycles at all, and what led up to this.
So my dad, when I was growing up, he had a motorcycle. And briefly had a motorcycle because it was stolen in Panama. But I just remember he said, if you can hold it up, you can ride it. And I was in fifth grade. Of course, I couldn't hold it up. So he got me a moped first when I was in high school. And then he said, I think you'd be safer on a motorcycle because you have some speed to get out of the way. So he got me a motorcycle. He got me a Yamaha 200 when I was 16. And then I went in the Army when I got out of high school. So he sold the motorcycle. And I just said, one day I'll have a motorcycle again.
Nice.
I was 17 and a half. And I said that to myself, one day I'll have another motorcycle. And in my 20s decided, I'm going to get a motorcycle when I turn 50. And then I was 47 and I'm like, I guess I need to get my endorsement and start practicing. I didn't even know what kind of motorcycle I wanted at the time. So in 2014, I got my endorsement and I rented motorcycles for 2 years. And finally in 2016, I got a motorcycle. I got a Heritage Softail.
So Heather, are you listening
yes,
to this story?
Because I am. She's my inspiration.
You keep talking about wanting to do this and knowing where the inroad is. Like, it sounds like just pull your big girl pants up and go.
And that's exactly what I have to do. And you know, and it's hard because I keep finding excuses not to do it. Dana, I've been wanting to ride for years now. And with our schedule, every time I find an opportunity, like there's an open class this week. But I have to have my motorcycle permit and I can't get into the permit until after the class has already started. So it's like, and I keep running into these things and it's so hard. Like, I'll get excited about it and then I lose my momentum and then I have time and then there's no class. But like, you are such an inspiration, especially because I just turned 49. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'm too old. No, I'm definitely not.
No,
I'm definitely not. Not after hearing this. It's incredible.
I just picked 50 and it's funny because when I was 47, I'm like, yeah, oh my gosh, I need to, if I'm going to do this. And I must say I was nervous when, I was out on the road. I rented a motorcycle. Oh, I went in, I got my endorsement and I went into the dealership, got my endorsement like on a Monday and I go in the dealership on a Thursday and I said, I'd like to rent a motorcycle. They're like, oh, when would you like to rent one? And I said, today. Like, no, that's not how it works. You have to, if you want it for like this Saturday, we have to see if there's any motorcycles available. And I go, oh, and then they asked, what motorcycle would you like to rent? And I said, a Road Glide.
Wow.
And the service man, I mean, the general manager heard me talking. He actually came out of his office and he's like, when did you get your endorsement? And I said, Monday. And he goes, he looks at the guy that rents and he said, do not rent her a Road Glide. Not a Road Glide. He goes, show her some of the Fat Boys and the Heritages. And I was like, thank goodness. He did not let me rent a Road Glide.
No, so did, I, go I'm ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, so I go, okay. So I went back. It was like a Saturday. I'm with the guy, Dave, who, was in charge of rentals. And he goes over everything with me. And we go out, you know, he's going over the bike. I get on it and I said, and he goes, I want to see you go around the parking lot. So I went around the parking lot and I went back up to him and I said, I really don't like this. Like he was actually going to take parts off for me. I mean, I was like riding around and I was so nervous. I said, I'm just going to ride around for a little bit longer. And he goes, okay. So I went around and around and around. And the next thing I know, I look up and he's already went back in the building. I'm like, I got to get out of this parking lot. This was 2014. And so finally I get out of the parking lot and I take off and I'm going to go on an off ramp and I'm going straight and I realize, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to run right in a ditch. And then I'm like, oh, what did I learn in class? Turn your eyes the way you want to go. And I went like this and I went, oh my gosh, it actually worked. Like I got the off ramp. And I rode back and forth on this. It's US 27 here. I live in South Florida. Everything's straight. And I went back and forth. And when I returned that bike that evening, he says, oh my gosh, you've ridden more miles than people do for like the month. I mean, I rode all day and I was just, I was excited, you know? So.
That's awesome. Now, did you take the class or did you just like, you went and got your permit and you're like, I remember how to do this.
Oh no, I had to take the class down here in Florida. You have to take the class. the writing part, the, you know, mm-hmm. the written test. And then you go and get the endorsement on your license, and then you can go rent a motorcycle.
Okay.
I do want to tell you, I had such restrictions on myself when I first started riding. I told my friends, Lori and Debbie, we rode together, and I said, okay, I don't want to ride on the highway, and I don't want to ride at night. So those were the.
Wow. And you still manage 600 miles a day average.
Yeah, 660 average.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't want that sparkle.
Wait, sparkle.
I don't remember. I said, I don't want to show that. There.
That's okay. No, like, I love this story because you just... How did you even decide you were going to do this? I can't even word.
So... Back in 2016, there's a girl named, you probably have heard of her, Danelle Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
She did this. She broke this record in 2016, and she had like 46,000 miles was the record. And when I saw it in 2016, the idea of 46,000 miles seemed too big. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, 46,000 miles. And that was 2016. Huh. Once I did the Hokahe Motorcycle Challenge in 2018, and I had already had a bike for 2 years, and I had put on 46,000 miles in 2 years on my bike, that's when I knew that was doable for me. I'm right. like, no, I can do it. I can do it.
So now you did the Hokahe in 2018 and 2020. So the first one, 2018, was just 4 years after... You got your endorsement 2 years after you bought your own bike. Right. What made you decide you were going to do the Hokahe?
So in 2014, when I was getting my endorsement, I didn't realize the dealership that I was at was owned by a guy who had ridden the Hokahe, him and his wife, E.B. What was his last name? But anyways, so while I was there getting my endorsement, taking the class, I see this guy and there's a motorcycle and there's two motorcycles there. And I walk over and I said, oh, is this your motorcycle? And he says, yeah. And, I'm thinking to myself, they just let you pull your motorcycle up in a dealership. And he says, I'm going on a long trip and, I need to get my bike ready. And he says, this is my wife's bike. And I said, oh, so in my head, I'm thinking, they just let him come in and get his bike ready for a big trip, you know, not knowing he owned the dealership.
That's great.
So I got done talking. Well, and I asked him, I said, oh, how many miles do you have on your bike? And he told me, and I said, wow. I go, what do you do for a living? And he says, I own a dealership. And I go, oh, because I said, oh, you must be retired. He goes, no, I own a dealership. And I thought he meant car dealership. So I walked away from the guy, a guy that worked there said, do you know who that is? And I said, no. And he goes, he owns this dealership. He's getting ready for the Hokahe Motorcycle Challenge. And I went, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I looked it up and I said, that is so cool. Well, I tucked it away and I started following a guy, Kenneth Andrew, on Facebook. He did all these long distance rides. And in 2015, he announced, it was 2015 or 2016, he announced he was going to do the Hokahe Motorcycle Challenge in 2016. Right then I went, I know what that is. So during that challenge, I watched it, and I specifically watched Kenneth Andrews because that's the only person I knew that was doing it. And after 2016, and then I got my motorcycle, I said to myself, I'm going to find all these Hokahe motorcycle people. I'm going to get to know them, and I'm going to ride in 2018.
Okay. So listen, since you're talking about the Hokahe, I got to do this to you. Where's it at?
Oh, Well, my purse is in the other room. Get it.
No, I'll just trust you.
Yeah, I don't have anything here to like throw down.
So this was the reason I bring that up is because I've said this on the show before. Like this was from the very first Hokahe.
Awesome.
And that ride changed my entire life. I think everyone who rides a motorcycle should have to do that ride. They should have to do it because I learned so much about myself, about this country, about motorcycling and motorcycle people. You know, that it was just an amazing thing. There you go. Look at that. So here's the deal. Everybody who doesn't understand what I just did, this is just like a challenge coin for people in the military because the founder of the Hokahe, Jim Red Cloud, was a military man himself. And if you're around another Hokahe rider and they pull that out and you don't have yours, then you're buying the drinks.
So right. I actually just looked up the 2024 Hokahe, and it is in memory of Jim.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Jim was a very, very dear friend of ours, like very, very dear friend, and been to his house and had dinner at his house and spent a lot of time with him and Beth and that whole family. So we think about him an awful lot.
I unfortunately never got to meet him. I love Beth, Mama Beth.
How can you not?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And I just respect her. I respect Hokahe means different things to everybody. It is life changing. Yeah. My boss actually, after I did 18, she took me aside and she asked me, she goes, "What is wrong? What, like you've changed?" And I'm like, yeah, I have. Yeah. And I didn't take it as an insult. Little things didn't bother me anymore. It gives you a bigger picture of life.
Absolutely.
And so I guess I went back with this honey badger attitude. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, she took me aside. Like, what's different? What's something's different about you? Yeah.
Heather, do you have the ability to take your camera and show her the two paintings over your shoulder?
I think so. Just excuse the jostle, everybody. So there's one. So this one, I can't actually move it, but I'll send you a picture of it. So that one, actually, the cracks in the road are actually the route from Key West, Florida, Homer, Alaska.
Yeah, that was me on the Hokahe. And then the one of the...
Wrong way.
The Hokahe... The Hokahe icon without the mask on. I painted that for Jim for his birthday 1 year. That's a print of it, but Beth has the original.
I apologize. I did not look you up.
Oh, that's okay.
To know this about you. So
that's okay. Yeah. Like I celebrate your accomplishment because This is what motorcycling is really about. You know, all the parking lot bullshit and doing custom bikes and everything, it's great. But like, man, there is such a beautiful world out there when you put all this bullshit behind you and just take off. And man, that's what I got to give you the most credit for is like, there are not a lot of people. That was the biggest thing that Hokahe taught all of us in that first year. Was there is a very large shortage of people left in this life anymore that are willing to take that kind of challenge. Not to prove that you're a badass and you can outride other people, to prove that you're willing to put it all on the line and test your own resolve and see what you're made of. And you did that.
And people ask me, you know, oh, did you ever like, oh, they thought about quitting. And I go, not once did it cross my mind to quit what I was doing. But people had asked me, oh, if you run out of time, you know, because I only took like 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks off from work. If you run out of time, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I guess I have to go back to work. I just have to stop what I'm doing. Then when I was riding, I'm like, oh, no. I'd have to call and say, I'm still in the middle of this ride. One of the girls actually did that. Mm. Julie Andrews was in the middle of the ride, and she just kept telling her dog, I'll be there. I'm still riding. You know, so.
I love it. Yeah. Chris, maybe you should do the Hokahe next year.
Hey,
it's
you
the
know
original
what?
Route.
That's what
I just saw
Kenneth Andrews said that Hokahe is running the original route next year. And I'll tell you, this is what was special about the first year. The first year we got a set of directions every 1,000 miles and we had no idea. We knew we were going to end up in Homer, Alaska, but we had no idea. So it was about the time that we were circling the Grand Canyon and we started heading back east. And I was like, it was already a shitload of miles. I hadn't hardly slept at all, but it was heading back east. And I'm like, man, we should really be going north to like kind of head into Canada and go to Alaska. We went the whole way back to the Pine Ridge Reservation and then came back and went north. And like at first it was demoralizing because you're like, oh my God, I just can't do this. And it was where you were going to give up if you were. You know, but that was some of the best parts, man, was like you had no idea. Eventually you had to just give in to it. You had to just say, look, I don't care. I don't give a shit if it goes to Russia first and then back to Alaska. I'm in.
Yeah. So I heard it's the original route and I don't know what that route is. I don't want to know. So people that have that, you know, that have done it, they know the route. Yay for you. I don't want to know.
It was so awesome. It was the best thing in my life
of
motorcycling. My life.
I'll find out next year what that route is, right what on. I'm doing. Yeah.
It's a shame it's full. That would be a great thing for you to do, Chris. It really would.
Oh, actually, Chris.
Heather, we lost you.
Oh. Because I moved.
Chris.
On.
Yes.
Just to let you know, since you've done Hokahe, I think you're automatically in. Returning rider is, it's closed to new people.
Ah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that if you are a returning rider, you're in.
Someone please tell me, cause I have a motorcycle with very low miles on it that I'm willing to destroy.
So
I just want to know when you're going to fit it in.
Well,
you know, that would be worth it. It happens during Sturgis, and it would be worth it, I think, for him to miss Sturgis.
Oh, my God.
You did it in 2010. You missed Sturgis. I remember, because Broken Spoke was one of the spots, one of the stops. And you have a good enough team that it could support you while you did this.
Well, let's go back to the woman of the hour.
Because we get sidetracked easily. God, no, everything else is jeepers.
Well, you say you have a bike with low miles.
And yep.
So you'll see if you can do it on that. My bike now has 138,000 miles, and I don't plan on getting a new bike. I want to take this bike.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right on.
With the world record, with the Guinness World Record, you had to use the same, you had to have the same bike. So that was one of my... I couldn't go and, you know, purchase another bike or, you know, finish it off with another bike. So that was a key with me. Like, I was just worried about my bike breaking down. And it only, when was it? Like in July, when I finished in August, in July, my belt shredded.
Yeah.
And so that was the only problem I had with my bike.
I mean, not only do I think it's amazing that you rode 83,000 miles, but the fact that you did it in the time that you did, I mean, that's dedication.
So Guinness does not go by time frame because for safety. So one of my friends, Chris Hopper, shout out to Chris. He did 100,000 miles in 100 days and he raised over $100,000 for Duchenne's muscular dystrophy.
I know. We kept trying to get Chris on. If you have an in with him, let me know.
I do have an in with him. So Guinness doesn't recognize a time frame because they, you know, for safety. But the only reason why I did this in 4 months, I would have stretched this out for a year, but it's the leave of absence. So, yeah. Oh, that tornado.
Holy.
Yeah, I went to Kansas for for a safety motorcycle course. And the night before, there was a tornado. That's from the hotel.
And see, this is the thing.
Oh, and like, that's where the motorcycle course, safety course, was at that museum. Twisted Oz.
No, Twisted Oz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The irony. Yeah. And that was the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
And Chris, you see I'm carrying a Keechita. I don't know if you...
Yeah, actually, that very one, one of my good brothers and longtime magazine guys, Rob Keller, carried that around for a while. Yep.
Yes, I love Rob.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was. I carried a Keechita for about 70,000 miles of my 82,000 mile ride.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a stressor, carrying it. Like, I was just worried.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me keep a Keechita in one, you know, like, nothing happens to a Keechita while I'm carrying her. So,
look at that. No. What a picture right there.
Yeah. That's, I honor the Native Americans. I think of Rob Sanook, one of my really good friends, is a Cherokee. And so I did post some of that on Facebook. Yeah.
So now, earlier in the thread, Kenneth Andrews came on and you said he was your logistics manager for this trip.
So I had certain people I asked to help. I asked my best friend, Lori Rocco. I said, I just want you to watch my spot, because I had a spot and I had a Garmin inReach. And I said, I just want you to watch them and make sure, you know, that they're tracking. There's no lag. And she says, no problem. And Michael Brennan, shout out to him, to watch my, you know, make sure that's working. And Kenneth Andrews. And all three of them, yes, you know, we'll help you out. And one day I call Lori. I'm like 6 days into this, and I call Lori, and she goes, "Where are you at?" Huh. And I go, "Don't you know? Aren't you watching my tracker?" Oh my gosh! So she goes, "I'm so sorry. Once I knew you had Michael Brennan and Kenneth Andrews, the eye in the sky, I just taken a back seat." So Kenneth Andrews helped me so much. He would let me know if there was construction. He let me know if there were storms ahead. He called me in the 4 o'clock in the morning and said, "Get out. A storm just came in. You know, you got to get out now and head south or head west," you know. So, and he helped plan my route because I did it just daily. My goals were to do the Tour of Honor. And to ride around storms. I didn't want to be in bad weather if I didn't need to be. Yeah. And off the bike at night. Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. And try to do it in a time frame of, like, you know, 4 months, because that's all I asked for time off. So I'm like, you know, when I was doing it, well, Chris Hopper had asked me, so how many miles do you think you'll do a day? And I said, maybe like 600. And he goes, "That's doable." Well, this is coming from a guy who did 1,000 miles a day for 100 days.
Right.
So, and he's like, "That's good," you know.
So was there any stretch of the trip that really stuck out in your mind? Like, wow.
And people ask me that, like, what's the best part? It honestly was the whole ride. Like, who gets to take 4 months and ride your bike every day? And it's that's the best.
Yeah, so. That's the exciting part. You got to ride so much, you know, and obviously you didn't wear yourself out. So, you know, that's the cool part.
I decided
about
that was going to be my job. My job was, okay, I'm gonna ride.
Right.
I rode 12, maybe, you know, like 10, 12, 14 hours a day, depending on where I was located. And I mean, that's just like, this is awesome. So I said to my daughter, I go, the last time I took time off from work, they gave me a baby and I had to take it. So I'm like, and she's like looking at me and she goes, oh, so it's like, how often you get to do this, you know? And if it's something you really want to do, I made it happen.
That's incredible. I hope you know what an inspiration you are to so many. I mean, me especially, like, I'm going to take this and I'm going to watch this probably 500 times. Ken Andrews is over here. Or Kenneth Andrews, and he's feeding me questions. I love it. How many military monuments did you visit on your trip?
So the I knew I wanted to do the Tour of Honor. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. So Tour of Honor came out April 1st, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's how I'll plan my ride. But at the same time, in April, it's freezing. It's cold north of I-40. So I had to do a lot of going back and forth in the southeast area. But I was able to visit 307 of the state memorials, the lower 48. So I visited all of the memorials in the lower 48. I have second place with Tour of Honor. So my flag number is number 2 this year. This year I haven't been able to do a lot, but that's the way it is, you know. But that's how I planned my trip, was that and the 50 rides, One Nation with Harley. Do you know about those, the coins?
I don't know about that.
So every state, Harley has a ride, and then you have to have the magazine cover, and you take a picture in front of whatever they told you to take. It in Washington was the teapot. So, So each state had that, a place that, you know, like this, the 50 rights for Shenandoah National Park. So, and then you submit it and you actually get coins from Harley. They're beautiful coins, with each state, you know, the state that you visited. So I have 45 out of, 50 coins. I didn't go down to Key West to get the buoy, because this ride, the Guinness ride, has to be a continuous ride.
Yeah.
So if you look at my GPS, I have two tracks, one track going out of Florida and one track coming back. Mm. And I just didn't want to swing down to Key West and be so close to home. So, right.
Yeah, let me bring that up for people.
This is really neat. I'm looking at the 50 Rides One Nation. For Pennsylvania, it's Laurel Highland Scenic Byway. This is really cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you're pretty awesome.
Oh, go on.
No, this is amazing. Like, Dana, this is incredible.
A lot of riding.
Yeah, buddy.
At any point where you're like, man, I'm tired and I just want to take a day? Because I know the only 2 days you didn't ride the only 2 days she didn't ride were when her bike was broken.
Wait a minute. I found the solution. I know how she did it now. Right there.
Ben and Jerry's kept her going.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't feel, there were times, like one day I'm going and I actually had to stop because the rain was so bad. And this guy goes, where are you headed? And I said, well, I was going to go that way. He goes, don't go that way. And I go, no, I'm not going that way now. And I just said, you know, I got to turn around. So I just like rode an interstate a little. Oh, see that? That's planning the route. So you can see the Tour of Honor sites like Virginia number 4, North Carolina number 2, and Camden. And that's 22 hours and 1,100 miles. I didn't do that all in one day. Right. So I would just go from point to point to point. And then at a certain hour, then you have to, you know, start looking for somewhere to go to sleep. So.
Hey, you got a lot of comments going on in the
I haven't
section read. Here. Bruno wants to know, what was Dana's favorite ride? What did you think of riding over the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan? Looks like
that
she hit.
Cool.
Looks like she hit my city of Kansas a number of times. Becky Quiver says, that's wicked badass. You rock. Lots of support here. A lot of people really impressed with you.
So the reason why I was in Kansas a lot, I went to Olathe at the dealership, Rawhide. Yeah, I had to look at the name. So Alligator Alley, my dealership down here, is owned by the Racca brothers. I think it's Racca. And they have sister dealerships. So I went to those because I have the VIP and I could get my oil changes and my service under that plan. So I planned my ride and my service with through those sister dealerships.
Oh, yeah.
And Olathe was very centrally located. So it was just easy to zip in there. And they were very accommodating. Oh, and the other picture was Hoagie.
Yeah.
Went to his house and him and his wife put me up for the night. And he, you know, they fed me all this food. He does Hoagie's Heroes.
Yep.
Yeah. And washed my clothes and then sent me on my way the next morning. So they were great. Yeah.
Was there any part of the trip that was like kind of a surprise for you? When Chris and I did a trip a number of years ago, and his 49th state for him to ride in was Idaho, and we got to go through Idaho, and it was a surprise at how beautiful Idaho
was. Because I'd always put Idaho out there like, I'll get to it whenever I do, like, it's Idaho, what am I gonna see? Potato fields. Like, I totally discounted it. And by the time we finally got to it, and I saw, like, in Idaho, there is a little bit of every kind of terrain you can imagine. There's mountains, there's deserts, there's hot springs.
Lava field, like everything.
It was incredible.
You know what? I appreciated every state for what it is, you know? Like Texas, I stayed with friends of mine, Kathy and Billy, and she rode with me that day. I actually stayed at their place. We looped around. I stayed at their place and then I took off and we rode 700 miles. And in that time we were in 100 degrees and then a big cloud and, hail. Mm-hmm. I'm like all in 700 miles riding through Texas, you know? So I just absorb, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in Utah, you know, I'm in Washington. Yep. Like this, you know, it's, and I would ask people all the time at the gas stations, so what do you guys do around here? You know? Because I'd be in a place. Oh, see this lady, Irene. I didn't see her at first. She was inside and I see her motorcycle and I'm like, who is riding that motorcycle? It's packed. I mean, it's like every, so when she came out, I said, my gosh, you have everything but the kitchen sink. And she goes, yeah, pretty much. And she has been wanting to ride the lower 48 states her whole life. Finally, her son said, Mom, go out and ride.
Wow.
And her budget was $25 a day.
Wow.
So this lady didn't let anything stop her. She packed up her stuff. She was staying in truck stops. She was just sleeping wherever she could. She was cooking off of her. I mean, she was loaded. But she said the only regret she had was that she had never done this earlier in life.
How old was she?
I didn't ask her.
She doesn't look to be very young.
No.
And so that's actually a motorcycle and she has the wheels, you know, the extra. So it was four. I don't even know what kind of bike that's called. When you put the like training wheels on there.
Yeah.
And But it was like, and I said, oh, what's your story? What are you doing? And she says, I'm riding the lower of 48. I've been wanting to do this. Oh, I've talked about it. And I said, how many have you done? And she said, 9. She was so excited. And I said, well, that's what I'm doing too. And she goes, how many have you done? And I said, 48. Like it was like at the end of my, and she's like, oh, but yeah, $25 a day.
Oh my God.
Nothing stopped her. And what an inspiration. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I want to meet her.
I know.
I want to meet her.
Listen, anyone that knows this woman that could put us in touch with her.
Yeah, anyone that knows Irene, I want to talk to her.
And she's got little she has tattoos right here. So, I mean, you got to remember her. But, we just talked. And it was funny. I said, let's go back inside. But, you know, and I wanted to get her something to eat and drink. And, I wanted to be a part of her story because she was a part of mine.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
Kenneth Andrews says, ask her how many ferries.
Oh, I rode, I think 3 or 4 ferries. Yeah. But Kenneth Andrews is the one who said, hey, I know this isn't going to get you miles, but you got to ride this ferry. You got to ride this ferry. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm on a ferry with my motorcycle going, you know, it's just so cool. Yeah. You know?
So
I want a repeat performance.
I want to know, he says way back in the comments, he says that he's flabbergasted that I rode the first Hokage. Why?
Why is he flabbergasted?
Yeah.
I guess he didn't know.
Maybe
I guess
just, he didn't know. Maybe just because I'm kind of known as being a chopper guy that.
Well, let's see if he chimes in.
Yeah. Because there was a time where when we first got to the national newsstand, so Cycle Source is behind this whole program, and it's a national newsstand custom bike magazine. Well, there was a time where, you know, we couldn't afford to go to everything, and to be able to go to it, I would load up 9 or 10 cases of magazines, and I would take off on my Ultra Classic, and I stayed in every shitty truck stop and roadside rest and everything that I could. Like, there was a time where riding was a much bigger part of my day to day, but I guess it has been a while.
It's been a minute.
What's happened?
What
have you done to me, woman?
Don't you blame me. Don't you dare blame me, because the second I get my motorcycle license, you're going to be like, trying to catch up to me.
Where'd she go?
Yeah, I'll be like, I'll see you in Sturgis.
So, when I said early on, and Heather, just, you know, like, you'll have like these little rules for yourself. Like, you know, I'm going to wear all my gear all the time. I'm going to do this. And when I said I didn't want to ride at night and didn't want to ride on the interstate, shout out to my friends, Lori and Debbie. We go to Daytona for Bike Week in 2017. And I ended up riding on the interstate, riding at night. And when we got up there and we're going to leave, Debbie says, oh, it's going to rain. I'm just going to stay another night. And I was so annoyed because I'm like, oh, no, we came here together. We need to leave together. And she goes, no, it's going to rain. So I got on my bike. I leave on that Sunday from Daytona to get to my house because I have to work the next day. And I would tell them, I said, the best thing you guys did was leave me. And she goes, well, technically, we didn't leave you. You left us. So that ride, having to ride back by myself, is what made me know that I could ride by myself. That's when I couldn't rely on other people, you know, because I rode up with them, and here I thought we were going to ride back. And when that didn't happen, I called a friend of mine, or we were, I don't know if we talked or we were texting, Wendy Battles, who rode the Hokage. I don't know, Chris, if you know her.
I don't know.
She has a great story. I said to her about a mile before I got home, and it was late when I got home that Sunday, I'm crying. And I said, I wasn't crying because I was like, oh, thank God I made it home. I was crying because I was so proud of myself for riding from Daytona to Sunrise.
Yeah.
Because I said the best thing you guys ever did was leave me and make me ride by myself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That was, I can't remember which, it was still way early on, like second or third rest stop. So we were only 2,000 or 3,000 miles into Hokahe. And I went into the rest stop or into the check-in and I saw Beth and I said, hey, listen, I said, take my name off of the race for the money, because that year it was the famous $500,000 in gold and all that. And I said, take my name off the race for the money. And she was like, she thought I was dropping out. And I said, no, I'm going to do the whole ride. I said, but I could care less about anything about money or shit anymore. Like, I was seeing so much by that point already that I was just, I was amazed, you know, and it kept coming like that and kept coming and little roads and little towns and, you know, so much, so many great things, so many great memories from Hokahe.
Yeah. And it's, Kenneth Andrews said in a podcast once, he said, it's very familial and, you develop friendships and, family. I mean, you reach, it's a bond that you don't have with the regular people that you know, your own family or your friends. It's just different.
Yeah.
And so, love it.
Well, listen, your story, I sure appreciate you coming on and the inspiration that you're giving people for the stuff that you've done here. You guys can check out more about this amazing woman on her Facebook page. Heather's going to put a link up for that. Guinness World Record holder, longest journey on a motorcycle. And also, did someone say earlier in the comments that it was also 100,000 miles in 1 year you scored at the same time?
Was So for the Iron Butt Association, I'm a member, 66222, that's my number. The Iron Butt Association has been around since 1984, and to have a documented 100,000 miles for the year, there were only 17 or 18 people on the list since 1984. So once I did 82,000 miles, I said, let me just go up to 100,000. Last year, I did 100,000 miles in a year. So I don't think their website's updated yet. My name's not on there. I check every once in a while. So to have documented 100,000 miles, you know, in a year, when do you get to do that? You know,
right on. And listen, I'm definitely down and due for another Hokahe. So we'll see what next year's planning looks like. But I'm so glad every time I get to meet more people that have been touched by Hokahe, it's great because we all have similar stories. I know that first year there were a couple guys, literally one guy at one of the midpoint check-ins, like I came into the checkpoint and he was screaming at Beth, and like he and I almost got into a little dust up right there, because I was like, hey man, this woman's old man isn't here, you want to take it out on somebody, wait until he shows up, because I knew, you know, Jim wasn't having any of that shit.
Oh, Jim would have lost his mind.
But he and I almost got into it. Well, by the end of the event, it had touched both of us so much that we were great friends, you know. And it ended up, he had such a great story. He had lost his son, and I mean, everybody seemed like they were there for a real meaning, for some kind of healing, you know what I mean? And that's what Hokahe did for a lot of us. It was a magical thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? No money, no, like, I don't like the external pressure of anything. I do it for me. And the, John Levins, he'll say, ride your ride. And, yeah. You have to remember that. Ride your ride. It's for you. And 2020, I said, I'm going to listen to my body. So when I was tired, I slept. When I was hungry, I ate. And, you know, but the sleep was the biggest thing. Mm. I mean, what, 6 hours?
There was, There was a bunch of times that I rode up, I woke up surprised I was holding on to a motorcycle handlebars. And one of those times I was on the Alaskan Highway, and when we got up there, like the sun stopped going down. And I've told this story on here before, so everyone who's heard it has to excuse me. But the sun stopped going down, so it's a lot easier to forget to sleep. And one time I started falling asleep, and I was like, man, I really got to get off the road. So I pulled over, and just as I was laying down next to my motorcycle, another Hokage rider went zipping past me. And I was thinking, man, I should get up and just get some more miles in. And I fell asleep. Well, however long it was, a couple hours later, I woke back up. I got back on the bike, and I didn't go a mile up the road. And there was that guy's motorcycle all over the side of the hill, and he died right on that spot. Mm.
Oh, that's tragic.
It was. But, I mean, that's, you know, someone earlier said, what was the challenge? Everybody's challenge was different. It's an individual thing, you know, and you really, you know, that as hokey as it sounds to say that, you know, you really can't explain it. You really can't explain it. You know,
I'm signed up for next year, and I doing this Guinness ride kind of spoiled me because I went, you know, I try to avoid bad weather. I may during the Hokage, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may just abort, do my own thing. You know, so Beth may call me and say, Dana, you're completely off track. Like, nope, I'm sure not.
So. I'm sure not. Right on. Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I hope maybe after Hokage next year we can get you back on and have a little more talk and check in with you. I know everybody that's watching the show would love to hear from you again.
I would love it. Thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, Dana, thank you so much. This show meant more to me than you will ever know.
And Heather, I now will be on you.
Nice.
Oh, I'm going to study for my permit tomorrow.
I want to inspire. I mean, if I inspire you, I have so many friends that have inspired me and helped me in the different takeaways. So if this motivates you, that's so cool. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hopefully the next time we talk, I'll have my endorsement.
There you go. There's a challenge.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, thanks again for being here with us, and we'll look to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dana.
See ya.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So, everybody, you're watching Cycle Source Magazine Shop Talk here on the Dennis Kirk Motorcycle Studio Network. We are going to look at a new product that could be useful on the Hokage. It is teaching an old dog some new tricks, so let's go check that out. When we come back on the other side, we're going to go through a few events that are coming up, and then we're going to wrap this up. Don't go anywhere. You're watching Shop Talk.
Hey, this is Chris with Cycle Source Greasing Gears TV, and this is your product spotlight.
The product spotlight is brought to you by Drag Specialties, the world's largest distributor of aftermarket accessories.
Today's product spotlight is on the Sina 30K Bluetooth communication system with mesh and HD speakers. Now, this is not the newest product that Sina has out, and I'm going to be completely transparent with you guys and tell you, it was a couple years ago, I had won the Best in Show at the Sportster Throwdown in Sturgis, and I got these as one of my prizes. Well, you can see the box is kind of old and funky because I put it up on the shelf, and I was like, what am I ever going to use those for? I wish I would have got these out of the box before because it's a really interesting thing. Like when I say that it's when it's mesh, you have the ability that anyone else that has the Sina system, you can mesh in and out. If you're within 5 miles of that group of people that are riding, you can join them as part of the mesh system. Bluetooth runs your music, runs your phone. You can take phone calls. It has great, great clarity. I've talked to a ton of people that were going down the road on this with this on, never had an idea that they were on a cell phone. So for that purpose alone, it's pretty cool. Now, for what we're getting it out of the box for and why I came up with this is if you add an additional recording device, there is an outlet on the back of these things that you can run straight to a recording device, and you can record the whole time you're going down the road. And that's whether it's your commentary or the group of people that you're riding with, you can record the whole thing. This makes it really nice for video production and post, because you have a really nice narrative that you've captured in good audio, and you're not relying on, you know, all of the crazy tricks that we've tried to come up with before. So for us, we're going to be test riding the Indian behind me here. And I wanted a good system to be able to tell you how things are feeling and how the bike handles and everything as I'm on it. We're going to outfit this helmet right here with the Sina system and run to our little Zoom device here to record the audio. So whole thing comes in at $299 if you want to get this. Of course, their newer systems, I think, is the 50C, and the C stands for camera. So it actually has a little camera that shoots off the front. It's probably better than this, probably more expensive, but still grab these 30Ks for $299. Go check them out today at Sina.com. Tell them the guys at Grease and Gears Garage sent you. Till next time, this is Chris with your product spotlight. Hey, what's up? It's Chris with Cycle Source Magazine, and I am here today to celebrate the launch of Grease and Gears TV. If you have Netflix, you understand it's basically the motorcycle equivalent of a Netflix type channel. Turn on your Roku, turn on your Fire Stick, iOS device, Android. There's Grease and Gears TV. What I want to talk to you about today is, now until the end of the year, we're going to be running a special giveaway sweepstakes for everybody who signs up for Grease and Gears TV. We have been very, very lucky in our relationship with Mr. Bear Houghton over at White Knuckler Brand. He has made an exclusive set of knives just for our fans and subscribers over at Grease and Gears TV. So we're going to take a nice picture of these and put them out on social media for everybody to see. I want to send Bear a very big thank you for this. Right across the spine of these knives, you'll see the Grease and Gears insignia. This is a special one-time, one-person only for the launch of Grease and Gears TV. You're going to get an opportunity to get this, and you don't have to do anything other than sign up and get great motorcycle media. So in addition to the great grand prize from White Knuckler Brand, we're going to have tons of prizes from all of our sponsors: Dennis Kirk, Twisted Tea, Cycle Source, Smoke Out, a bunch of our friends in the industry that will be given away at the end of the year as this kickoff sweepstakes wraps up. But additionally, every month you're going to have an opportunity. If you're one of our super fans on Grease and Gears, you're going to have an opportunity to win free stuff. It's just one of the perks for being involved in the program. So check it out today, Grease and Gears TV, powered by Dennis Kirk.
I'm Brian Clock from Clockworks in Mitchell, South Dakota, and you're watching Shop Talk.
Everything we do at the track shapes what we build for the street and the dirt.
You can see how bad these guys want it. The race to the line.
For us, racing is not for the trophies or the glory. We compete because it makes everything we do faster, more durable, and tested to a higher standard. For S&S, racing is the ultimate in proven performance, and we've been proving it since 1958.
Okay, so welcome back to the Dennis Kirk Motorcycle Studio. I am your host here on Shop Talk, Chris Callen, and want to thank Dana for taking the time to come with us. Incredible guest. But let's move on to talk about Grease and Gears TV is on the launch. We have done it.
Yes.
We have done it. We have launched Grease and Gears TV, damn it. After we thought it was going to launch during Sturgis, and the developers threw a curveball to us, but there it is, live and actually up and running. It is
more content being added all the time.
The one thing that we want to say is anybody who has signed up to this point, we're going to send you some extra freebies and goodies because you've had to wait for us to get our training wheels off and get running with this. But you can see just an absolute plethora of motorcycle goodness, tons of stuff that we're creating specifically for the channel, great, great content, and we're going to be pouring everything into this. So the deal is everything that you guys have come to expect from us in a magazine, now an additional dimension. We're going to be doing a lot more on that, and it lets you watch it all from your couch with no commercials.
That's so cool.
No, so skip the ads, no pre-roll, post-roll, mid-roll commercials.
Hokahe 2024. Document it for Grease and Gears TV. What an amazing story that would be. And I just looked, you as a returning rider can still apply.
Oh my.
It's open. And if you really wanted to, I could go with you.
Oh yeah.
As a passenger.
Two up Hokahe.
You can do two up Hokahe.
Okay, let's try to wow. Tackle the show here first, right? She's really selling this shit hard, boy. She's like,
yeah,
Hokahe. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying any of it.
Are you getting
Mark
you,
and I will go do Sturgis. You do Hokahe.
Yeah, I most certainly will not.
Now I know you're full of shit.
All right, I'll go do Sturgis. You go do Hokahe.
So hey, listen, it's been a killer show. It's time for that magical time where Heather does the events.
Woohoo!
The Shop Talk events calendar is brought to you by the Bikers Info app, the Everything Bikers app, all in one place, everything you need, and it's free.
So not a whole ton in the line of events because we are coming into a little bit slower season. What?
Deal Stereo says,
you can say,
well, first of all, he's willing to help sponsor with pork roll and gas.
Yep.
But then I can sit on the back. Fish. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, not a whole lot of events coming up into the slow season. But if you have an event, go ahead and submit it to us. CycleSource.com, submit an event, super easy, click a couple buttons, whatever. But anyway, next week,
yeah.
No, wait a minute, 4 days from now,
yep.
Holy jeepers.
Can I get an amen?
Greatest chopper show on earth, Willie's Tropical Tattoo Chopper Time, October 19th, 11 to 4 at Willie's Tropical Tattoo. 100% of the proceeds goes to the Veteran Support Fund. Go check it out. $20 enters your bike. They take pretty much about everything except Big Wheel Baggers. If you got that, you can stop and check out all the cool bikes, but you can park yours in the back. Oh, anyway. And then Friday, November 3rd, like the 10th or 11th annual Cycle Source Rodeo Games at Beach Central, excuse me. I'll be there with Michelle and Camel and Pat Jansen and about several hundred voracious Rodeo Games viewers and a whole bunch of contestants. They take that stuff very seriously in Texas. I guess that's it for that. Saturday, November 4th, Ride and Custom Bike Show. We have trophies in, I think, 28 classes. Best of Show gets $500 cash. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a phenomenal day. New this year, Pier 21, Friday, 11-3, the High Tide Chopper Show, Ride and Chopper Show. Our buddy Eric Vaughn, Destroyer Garage, and Daryl Borda are hosting that shindig. Registration's 11 to 1. Awards are in the afternoon. Go check them out. I'm going to head over there and see what I can dig up.
Okay, so we would be remiss if we didn't mention, even though we don't have a flyer for it, Sons of Speed.
I suck. Sorry. This Saturday, Sons of Speed, right? New Smyrna Speedway. Unfortunately, we will not be there.
No, we kind of suck. October 21st, New Smyrna Speedway. VIP gates 10 a.m., general admission 11.
Mm-hmm.
Racer parade 12:15. Race starts at 12:30.
Absolutely 100% worth the price of admission. I'm super bummed we're not going to make it, but we're stretched a little thin right now.
We also don't have a flyer for this next event, but while Heather's out in Texas land, I will be on the High Seas Rally.
Oh, yes.
Boy.
That's right.
As far as I know, you can still get tickets. Lots
yeah,
of good
stuff.
Yeah,
you can still book your cabin, highseasrally.com. Use code CycleSource. It'll get you $100 off your cabin. Again, how come I get stuck doing the grunt work while you get on the cruise?
Let's just knock
Seriously?
It off. We're not playing that whole game again this year.
Mm. Yeah.
Mark, you've been kind of quiet tonight. Let's give the floor to Mark.
I'm just questioning that I can guarantee I won't be at one of those events.
You won't be at either of those, loser.
Loser.
I have way too much life stuff to do.
Yeah.
That means napping.
No. That'd be fantastic. The whole time I was listening to Dana's interview, and I'm like, dude, that's amazing. I don't know if I could have carved even one iota of that time out to ride 80,000 miles.
No, you work your bloody
balls off.
Ass off. Like, Satin. All you do is work. Yeah.
You know something? And we were kidding around us today. I'm sort of come to the conclusion it's almost time that I do something for me. That's scary. Just to let everybody know.
It's
well, you should.
Me.
I agree.
So if by chance nobody sees me for the next 3 months, I'm doing something for myself.
So real quick, Salty Badger is asking, when does registration end for your guys' garage build-off? So check it out if you haven't heard about this. Kind of in celebration of what always was the amateur chop-off when the Horse Magazine was at the helm of the Smokeout Rally, we are bringing back that kind of deal. And we're calling it the garage build-off. Everybody that knows the information about that, we're going to be, as soon as we get back from Texas and the High Seas Rally and everything, we'll be in touch with you. We do have everybody's applications in. We're going to be going through the process of starting to get all that up on social media so you guys can do your voting. We can get down to our finalists. I would like to have the finalists by the end of the year so that we start off the year, and you have from then until September, but there's more information to come. Until we do get all that out and get back to you, I invite you to go to smokeoutrally.com.
/garage build-off.
Where there is a garage build-off tab.
Yep.
It'll tell you all about it. If you want to throw your hat in the ring,
yep,
you're welcome to. There is no promises who's going to get in. We're going to try first to start off with about 24 people. We're going to whittle that down to 12. From that 12, we're going to look for 6 finalists. Ooh. I can't tell you any more than that right now, but there will be 6 finalists that are actually in the hunt for the title. We are going to, this is an amendment that we made, we're going to invite all 12 of the 12 semifinalists to display their motorcycles in the garage builder corral.
Oh, I like
during
that.
Smokeouts.
And keep in mind that this is keeping the Smokeout builder, biker build-off thing alive. So being a part of this is going to be super cool.
Yeah. And I do want to clarify, this is for amateur builders.
Yeah.
If you are a professional, you do this for a living, this one's not for you.
No.
But we do invite you guys to... all you amateur builders, if you want to show off what you're doing, please hit us up for that. We want to see what's out there.
Smokeout has always been a fertile ground for planting the seeds of inspiration and, you know, getting guys doing stuff to bikes, and that's what we want to keep going.
One more clarification. This is not for choppers only. If you're doing a Dyna, an FXR, a soft, you know, it's anything. It is open to all shapes, styles, makes, models, you name it.
Bring your uniqueness.
Yeah, let's see it, man. So I want to be clear about how the judging is going to go on for the final 6 so that you know what you're getting into. We have a system that we developed through our In Motion show that we're employing here. It's called a 40-40-20 system. This is the best way that we've found to judge another person's work, because everybody's very critical about how do you judge another person's work. Well, we are going to leave 20% of that in the hands of social media. So we're going to ask everybody, social media and everybody who gets a ticket that comes into Smokeout will have one vote.
Ooh.
That's going to be 20% of the vote. Then 40%, the next 40% of the vote is going to be builders who are featured in the Legends Gallery. So professional builders will come down from the Legends Gallery, and they're going to judge these bikes based on their own merit. Then the last 40%, in another way, in an attempt to keep this honest and fair, we're going to invite members of the trade. This will be machinists, welders, fabricators,
painters
that will come in and be able to judge these machines based on the execution of what was done to them. So with all of that together, it's always been the most fair system of judging. It's not a popularity contest. It's not, you know, about something just being pretty. It's got to be done. It's got to be done right.
It must run. It must ride.
And there will be a shakeup. Yes. There will be a shakedown ride. So
Yes.
Matt Real, Mark, I don't know if we told you this. Matt Real's actually heading all that up for us. When we had the BMR ride, BMR runs, Matt used to head up the Sportster Challenge, which was a big part of that event. So
very exciting.
Anyway. We totally stole that from Ellen. Oh, Jesus. So until next week, when we hope to have a pre-recorded show for you guys, we'll see how that's going to go. But until then, you guys all stay safe. Try to get in some motorcycle celebration because the weather's turning cold here. We're almost out of time.
John Owens, can you hear me or am I just talking to myself? John, what are you saying?
Well, you could possibly be talking
to yourself.
Good possibility.
Yeah.
We do a lot of talking to ourselves.
This is, we invite everybody to participate, but we can't actually hear you.
Right.
We can read what you're saying.
We can read. Sometimes they come in too fast. I'm a little slow.
Can you hear you? There's the problem.
Okay.
Anyway, we can hear you. Not sure what you're saying, but you are here. We acknowledge you.
Hi, John.
Thank you for being here. Hi, John.
So other than that, no, I'm just kidding. Have a good night. All right, John. Hey, listen, you guys stay safe. Thanks for letting us into your headspace for a little bit. Remember, every Sunday, 9 p.m., we go live with another episode of Shop Talk, and we're looking for you to help us get it out there further. So until next time, we'll be coming back same chopper time.
Same chopper channel.
Start building that bike, Felicia.
We'd like to thank our sponsors for their continued support, and we hope you pay them a visit when you're in the market for great motorcycle parts, products, and events. S&S Cycle, Mikuni American, Baco Parts, The Broken Spoke Saloon, Twisted Tea, The Iron Horse Saloon, High Seas Rally, Twisted Choppers, Twin Power, Drag Specialties, Geico, Law Tigers, Tech Cycle, Fueling Parts, Lone Star Rally, Hijinx Apparel, Progressive Insurance, Spectra Oil, No School Choppers, Motion Pro Tools.